Are you an elementary music teacher who's feeling overwhelmed and drained? Juggling lesson plans, self-care, and the unique challenges of being a music teacher can be really tough. If the hustle's leaving you tired, know that you're not alone. Check to see if you're at risk for burnout by taking our burnout quiz and discover tools for a healthier, happier teaching experience. Your well-being matters, and it's time to prioritize it. Take the quiz today at storiesthatsing.net/burnout quiz. Here's to a refreshed you in the new year.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
It's the Happy Music Teacher!
Are you an elementary music teacher who's frustrated and overwhelmed? I'm Jeanette Shorey, a happy music teacher who loves teaching every day, but it wasn't long ago I was in your shoes. Join me Wednesdays to help you find happy in your music classroom. Is it testing time at your school? It's testing time at my school. Not only is it testing time, but we also have spring break coming up next week. And it is also March, and we're starting to have some beautiful weather. And for all those reasons, behavior can be a challenge. Now, I'm going to tell you, my classroom is certainly not perfect. My students are certainly not perfect. But I can tell you that looking at what other teachers are struggling with right now, I am not struggling with the same sorts of things. That doesn't mean I'm not struggling at all, because we all have our things, right? We all have things that happen, random behavior, all those things. But I like to practice classroom unmanagement, and that has been saving me for years. So let me tell you a little bit about what classroom unmanagement is. So basically, first of all, let me tell you why I practice classroom unmanagement. Traditional classroom management does not work in the music classroom, and it does not work for several reasons. One of the reasons it doesn't work is because we don't have the power, as I call it. So what I mean by that is the classroom teacher has grading, they have recess in their control, they have silent lunch in their control, they have some negative consequences, and I certainly don't advocate for negative consequences, but if there's an issue and you really, really need to make a negative consequence or to give a negative consequence, then they at least have that power. We do not have that power. Second, your students are typically not going to be on board with most reward systems. Part of the reason for that is because they're not going to remember your system from week to week, unless it's a school-wide behavior management system. And finally, they're not going to be on board with it because it doesn't affect them in the same way. When I give my students, even when I do reward day, which I love to do, and I'll tell you more about that shortly, it still doesn't affect them the same way that things affect them in their classroom, in their general ed classroom, because we only see them once a week for a very tiny amount of time. And the classroom teachers have that chance to remind them from week to week, whereas we really, from day to day rather, whereas we really do not. So today I am going to give you 5 strategies to help you practice classroom unmanagement. Before we do that, let me tell you about the classroom management do-nots. First of all, do not spend money on rewards. That is very important. They do not pay us enough to spend our own money on anything, especially rewards. You do you. If that works for you, that is totally fine. But I can tell you that I've truly never found a reward that I've spent money on that my kiddos are like, oh, I am now going to behave all the time because I'm going to get, you know, the treasure box or whatever. So, I mean, if you want to spend a little bit of money, again, you do you. But to me, I am not going to spend my own personal money on rewards. If they paid me a lot more, certainly I would do that, but not with what they're paying me. Second, please try not to take away recess. Or if you don't have the power to take away recess and you know that the classroom teacher is going to take away recess if you give the students a bad report, please don't give them a bad report unless it is a really, really big deal. Try to keep it in your classroom and find ways to deal with it there, because the classroom teacher taking away recess does nothing for you. All it does is make the behavior worse, because the students who are really struggling with behavior are struggling because they aren't getting enough time outside running around, being crazy, doing things that they want to do, having a choice in their physical activity. So when you take away recess, it backfires on you. Number three, do not give a daily report to the classroom teacher. Again, try to handle it in your classroom if at all possible. Classroom teachers have way too much going on, and it is very difficult for them to keep track of behavior in your class as well. Plus, classroom teachers are still not going to be super excited if every time they come to class, you're like, Johnny did this, and or your class did this today. Oh my gosh, they were so terrible. Because guess what? They're being terrible in everybody else's classroom too. And that teacher is not going to be happy to hear, oh my gosh, my class, I don't even know what to do with them anymore. Because believe me, if they're being terrible in your class, they're being terrible everywhere else, and the teacher is already trying different things. So giving a daily report is going to do nothing for you. Plus, usually it happens in front of the class, and then they're like, oh my gosh, we're in trouble again. And believe it or not, that's a big deal to them. They don't want to be in trouble all the time. They really don't. Finally, do not call anyone out in front of the class. Again, a very big deal. Students, you don't like to be called out in front of your admin or in front of your colleagues. Don't do it to your students. Try to keep it between you and the student. You're going to have a lot better relationship with your students if you are not calling people out in front of the class. Let's talk about number one, some classroom unmanagement do's. Do encourage good behavior. Do be kind and smile as you're correcting students. Do be calm and think before you speak. No one likes to be yelled at, and I'm not saying you're yelling at anyone, but what you have to remember is that unless a child is being yelled at all the time, and sometimes even when they are being yelled at all the time, they are going to take your sternness and your lack of a smile to mean that you don't like them, or that possibly you're just being mean, or they're going to take it to heart, but not in the right way. So you may not want to smile and be like, hey, you did something wrong, you know, not that kind of a thing, but do be kind. And we're going to talk more in a bit about a way to approach them that's not so in their face. Please be calm and think before you speak. If you can't be calm, make sure that you step away and give yourself a moment. Take a few deep breaths. Do whatever you need to do so that you are calm. And always treat your students with respect. Super important. Number two, classroom unmanagement things to remember. Your students want to be good. They are trying their best, and I know that sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Especially, I've got a couple of students right now who are on my last nerve all the time, in my face, being disrespectful. Here's what you have to remember. If someone is in that situation, they have a problem. There is something going on that maybe you don't know about, or maybe you do know about it. And if you do know about it, you want to keep it in mind. So when a student is really, really responding negatively, no matter where they go, there is something going on. And the only way they have to tell you that is to misbehave, to act out. That is what they're telling you. They don't have the vocabulary to say, this is going on in my house. All they know is they feel a certain way and they can't help what they're doing. And I know that's hard because, you know, it is. It's just hard. It's hard to deal with, but try to keep it in mind. Your students want you to like them. I have a student right now who every time I correct him, he's like, you just don't like me. And I'm always like, no, I like you very well. In fact, I think you are a leader in this class. I mean, I always try to make sure that he knows that he has positive things that I'm noticing. Your students are not trying to get on your last nerve. They do not wake up in the morning and go, how can I make that music teacher's life a mess today? I am going to try. I'm going to try and make that music teacher's life a mess. That is not what they're doing. They truly do not know how to behave. Part of what you're doing is teaching them how to behave. They are still learning how to behave. These are things to remember. Every time a student misbehaves, try not to think, that kid is just trying to get on my last nerve. No, they really are not. They need your help. They need you to constantly remind them. And I'm telling you, like, repeat, 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 especially your littler ones. They are learning how to behave. And if a class comes in and they're really random, then sometimes it's because another adult in their lives has not shown them how to behave. So that is part of your job as a teacher, and we need to own that because that's just the way it is. Here are some unmanagement techniques that I like to use. First of all, positive reinforcement. If you are not using positive reinforcement in your class, you are missing out big time. Positive reinforcement works from little, all the way through fifth grade and beyond. So everybody likes those kudos, right? Everybody likes the warm fuzzies. So if you point out a kid that is doing the right thing, it is going to make everyone want to do the right thing. I will watch them. I'll be like, I love the way Jaden is sitting silently. I love the way that Louisa is sitting on her bottom. I caught Raymond playing his drum the right way. And then guess what? Everybody's looking at Raymond. They're like, oh my gosh, I want her to say my name. And I now have a pre-K class that every time I talk to, you know, I'll try to point out one or two people and I'll be like, oh my gosh, look at how so-and-so is doing. I love the way they're keeping their eyes on me. That's showing me that they're really listening. And then I have two kiddos in that class that are like, you can't tell everybody, or you can't talk to everybody. And I'll be like, no, I can't talk to everybody because then we would be catching people being good the entire class and we would never get anything done. So another way you can do it is say, do you see the way that John is sitting? That is how it looks when someone is listening to me. So these are some good ways to use positive reinforcement. Another unmanagement technique I like to use is called secret redirection. So instead of saying, John, I really need you to sit on your bottom, and I am guilty of doing that as well, and there's really nothing wrong with that. It's just if you frame it in a different way, then it's just easier for students, and it's just easier for them. It feels more respectful to them. It doesn't feel so much like you're calling them out. So did anyone hear? There was somebody playing the drum. Did anyone hear someone playing the drum? And if somebody's like, it was John, I'll be like, oh, no, no. We are not calling out our friends. I just wanted to observe that someone was playing the drum when they weren't supposed to be. I sure do wish that everyone would be keeping their drum in rest position. And I sure do hope that this is the next part of what I say. I sure do hope that whoever was playing the drum doesn't keep playing, because then guess what? Their drum's going to have to go into timeout. So that is secret redirection. Then we have not so secret redirection. If everything you've done in the way of positive reinforcement and secret redirection does not work, then your next step is not so secret redirection. So I wish that John was using his drum the same way that Nora is using her drum. Or I wish that Nora was not playing her drum, because I'm going to have to take it and put it in timeout in a second. Now, normally, I'm going to just take it and put it in timeout, but that was just the example I thought of. You can also use a strike system. I try to use this with the whole class instead of just one student, but if you're having really random behavior, and this happens very seldom, truly very seldom, where I have to be like, okay, boys and girls, strike one. They know strike three, we stop the activity, whatever it happens to be. So those are my classroom unmanagement techniques. Number three, and really, this should be number one. I should have put this as number one, but I didn't, and I'm not going to go back now. So establish clear expectations. So if you set clear expectations and procedures from the very beginning of the school year, then your students are going to know what to expect, and they are going to know exactly how to use the instruments, how to participate, all the things. So what I mean by clear and consistent rules and procedures, expectations, is that you want to tell them, remind them every time about the rules, but you want to start right away, first thing, beginning of the year. Now, I do not go over the rules at the beginning of the year. I do my rules as we go. So for example, if I'm passing out instruments, I'll be like, okay, boys and girls, as I'm passing the instruments out, or right before I pass the instrument out, I'll be like, okay, boys and girls, when I'm passing out your instrument, you're going to rehearse. And what I want you to rehearse is ti, 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 ta, ta. We will be rehearsing that the entire time, but we're going to be rehearsing it softly or piano. And if you do not rehearse it softly or piano, then I am going to take your instrument and put it into timeout. So every single rule and expectation should be done as you're doing it. And then you want to remind them, I kid you not, every single time. Now, when they get to fourth and fifth grade, maybe not as much, but with littles, I always remind them every time, boys and girls, what's going to happen if you play your drum too loudly? Yes, it's going to go into timeout. And then consistency is super important, super important, because if you do not take that instrument every single time that student is not playing it right or is playing when they're not supposed to or whatever, guess what? That's what everybody's going to do. And believe me, it is hard to be consistent. I am especially, like, I remember years ago when I was first teaching, and every once in a while this still happens, but not too often because, you know, it's a thing now. But I would have a kid, like, raise his hand and be like, Miss Shorey, why does so-and-so get to play with that toy? And I'll look and I'll be like, in my head, I'm going, oh my gosh, somebody's playing with a toy right in front of me. Inevitably, it would be like the kid in the first row, right? And I'd be like, oh my goodness, do you know what? I did not even notice that. I'm sorry, but you'll need to put that in your pocket. I try not to take it. I'll always let them put it in their pocket first. And then if that doesn't work, then I'll go ahead and take it. So just make sure you establish those clear expectations, clear and consistent rules and procedures. Structure is a big deal. If you structure your classroom the right way so that students know what to expect, then you are going to have a much, much easier time. I had someone on TikTok call me out for using the word silly, but that is my word and I feel like it's okay. I like to use silly behavior and I don't mind if my students use silly behavior. This person thought that I shouldn't say silly because that's for recess and outdoors, but to me, I think it's okay to be silly in the music room. And you do you. I will certainly not tell that person that I don't agree, but in my opinion, I like silly in the classroom. So I know this is a little random, but it's part of my unmanagement strategy. Make sure you add silly into your day. Make sure you do things that are random and unexpected, because that way, guess what? No one is going to want to take their eyes off of you because they're afraid they're going to miss something. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, what's she doing next? Oh my gosh. And I'm telling you, my kids are like that because I do all this random stuff and I sometimes toss things to them instead of handing them, not an instrument, of course, but you know, I'll toss a scarf to them and they're giggling, or I will toss the bouncy ball instead of handing it out. You know, anything that I can do with my bigger kids, I would have them sit in chairs and we would be sitting on the last 4 inches in good singing posture, or what I called active posture, while we were playing instruments. And if they weren't sitting that way, this is something I got from another teacher years ago, I would walk behind them on their chair. I would like walk all the way along the row. I mean, they were like, what? Oh my gosh. So anything you can do to make it like, holy cow, I'm not sure what this teacher is going to do from 1 minute to the next, and I don't want to miss it, so I am going to be listening. That is number four. Number five, the reward day. The reward day is the most amazing thing ever. Here's how it works. I do not do things like put M and U and S and I and C on the board, because first of all, that takes time away from what I'm doing in my class. I have to stop early to do those kinds of things. I no longer keep track of points. Years ago, I wrote a blog post and it was a good blog post that it really worked well, but I decided I now have 30-minute classes. I don't have time for all that. So what I'm doing is I have a Wheel of Fortune, and if a class does just a super fantastic job, we spin the Wheel of Fortune, and whatever it lands on, that is the reward they get that day. Here is the good part about it. It's immediate gratification. So, well, not completely immediate, because sometimes they get it that day and sometimes they get it the next week. So it's not always immediate gratification, but the immediate gratification part of it is that they get to spin that Wheel of Fortune. You don't have to remember anything from week to week. You don't have to write it down. You don't have to put it somewhere. So it saves time. I mean, I have 26 classes. I can't remember how many classes I have, but I know you have 25, 30, 35. Some of you have 50 classes a week. I know how this goes. You do not have time for that. So to me, this is a really good way to do it. And here's the best part. For most of the rewards, you're still going to be teaching. You're still going to be doing the same skills that you do every day. So I'll do things like drumming departure, choose the exit music, dance party exit, drop everything and read. And they love that one, believe it or not. I'll write a compliment to their teacher. Now, usually I don't do a handwritten, but it really depends on, you know, the time. That one does take a little time. We do comfy day where they get to come in their pajamas. I mean, all kinds of fun rewards, and you can have your biggest kids help you come up with the rewards at the beginning of the year. Put a chart up there and get your Wheel of Fortune. I got them on Amazon, or got it on Amazon, and I will send you a link to do the same. All right, let's go back and do a quick review. In order to master your classroom unmanagement system, first of all, make sure you are doing those classroom unmanagement dues. Encourage good behavior. Be kind as you're correcting. Be calm and think. Treat your students with respect. Number two, use the unmanagement techniques that we talked about. Positive reinforcement, secret redirection, not so secret redirection. Number three, master your structure. Make sure that your students have consistent rules and expectations in place. Number four, add some silly into your classroom every single time they come in so that, and it can be just something random. It doesn't have to be something planned, but do your best to do random silly things so that your students don't know what to expect next and they are always going to be watching you. And number five, try some of those reward days. I will link to some of my Choose Your Own Adventure reward days in the show notes.
If you got some great tips and tidbits that are going to help you become a happy music teacher, I would be so thankful if you'd leave me a review. Thanks so much for your time.
Well, that's all I have for you today. But before I go, let me remind you, keep learning. Keep growing and keep being fabulous you.